The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. And listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet The world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, good evening, everyone. And let me add my own welcome to you here to St. Helens this evening. Super to have you here. Now, at this year of all years, we want Christmas to be special. I read recently that the BCTGA, which, as you'll know, is the British Christmas Tree Growing Association, yes, that really does exist, announced that this year, so far, is a record year for Christmas trees. And to be honest, I'm not surprised, given the number of people I've seen stumbling around Hackney with an oversized Christmas tree on their shoulder. In fact, our friends at the BCTGA advise us that stocks are running very low this year. So if you haven't yet bought yours, now's the time to do it. Although I guess they would say that, wouldn't they? Well, after all we've been through this year, we do want to celebrate. And the end of the second lockdown has coincided with the Christmas season. So it's Christmas, and maybe you wouldn't be a carol service type person normally, but maybe you're invited and here you are and you thought, well, why not? And as we've heard, it's really great to have you here. So as we enjoy the festivities of this year, I thought I'd ask Alexa. Alexa, do you believe in Christmas? All I know, she said, is that someone's eaten my mince pies and Father Christmas looks like the type. Well, do we believe in Christmas? Now, maybe we, like Alexa, would like to dodge the question like that. It's not really our sort of thing. But who then is Christmas for? Who's Christmas for? And for a few minutes this evening, that's the question we're going to think about. And we're going to see two answers. The first is that Christmas is for skeptics. Christmas is for skeptics. Now, let's be honest, the Christmas story is hard to believe. I overheard a woman say recently, a virgin birth I can believe, but finding three wise men. Well, please with me take up your copy of Matthew's Gospel, which I've dropped, if you have one nearby. And let's just take a look at one of those readings that we had a little bit earlier. So it was page 4, Matthew chapter 1. Let me remind us of what we saw there in sentence verse 18, page 4, top of the page. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So at the heart of the Christmas story, as we all know, is a virgin birth. But we also all know, don't we, that such things simply can't happen. And this impossibility is hardly a recent discovery, the fruit of modern science. Joseph himself knew full well where babies come from. And so we're told in sentence 19, he started to make moves to divorce Mary. Now, as if that virgin birth wasn't enough for us to deal with, sentence 20 goes on. But as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So into the mix now comes an angel. And now surely we can't take this seriously, can we? How then can we say that Christmas is for the skeptic? Because surely actually paying attention to the Christmas story rather than just hearing it and singing it and giving it to the kids, well, that's only going to strengthen our incredulity at it all, because we know such things just don't happen. To which the answer must be, well, yes, that's absolutely right. Or at least they don't usually happen. But what if there is really a God who is there and he wanted to get our attention? And so to do that, what if he acted in, well, unexpected, we might even say impossible ways, to show to the world there is a unique event taking place which he wants to have our attention? And ironically, that is what skeptics demand. They say, if there is a God, why doesn't he make himself obvious? Maybe you've thought that yourself. Why doesn't God, if he is really there, do something so different, so out of the ordinary, that we can be sure? Well, the answer to that question is quite simply Christmas. Because the skeptic really can't have it both ways. The skeptic can't demand that God must do something extraordinary, and then when God does do that, turn around and dismiss it because, well, that's out of the ordinary. Now, 2020 has been, hasn't it, an extraordinary year by any standards. And we all know, don't we, we should have invested in Zoom shares. Back in October 2019, a share would have cost you $63. A year later, trading at $568, a tenfold increase, we'd have made a fortune. If only, of course, someone could have told us ahead of time. But at the end of 2019, can you remember, we had such little idea of what was coming. In fact, I looked recently at what last year's newspapers at the end of the year printed as their predictions for 2020. And you won't be surprised to hear they had no clue at all. The best I found was this in the FT on the 27th of December. The Harvard professor, Steven Pinker, said this, quote, "Possibly calamitous are pandemics that could hop continents." Well, indeed. But before we hail Pinker as a prophet, it's worth saying he did make rather a lot of other predictions as well, which weren't quite so successful. Even the pandemic was only possibly. But look now down to sentence 22. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." And as we've heard, the prophet who Matthew has in mind is Isaiah, who is around about 700 years before Christ. And Isaiah's prophecies were, well, far from being of the vague possibility kind. In fact, he made the most outrageous prophecy that a virgin would conceive and bear a child. Well, if this really did take place, according to prophecy, well, what then does it mean? What does it show? Well, Matthew, look, goes on to quote from Isaiah for us. We've reached sentence 23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see, Matthew's point that the virgin birth, the announcement of the angel, well, those aren't merely acts of God of the sort that the insurance companies around here will tell you about. No, rather, this is the entrance of God into the world. It is a mind-blowing assertion, isn't it? That this Jesus, that here is the Creator God in person. That we are no longer in the dark. God can be known. He has shown his face. And so to anyone who is a skeptic, anyone who is unsure about this whole God thing, well, Christmas does show us where to look. And notice we've only just begun. The remarkable circumstances of Jesus' birth, as we've considered this evening, all come in these early verses, early sentences in Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter. There is plenty more in this eyewitness historical record from the first century. In fact, if you read on, and yes, we see the quality of Jesus' whole life and think, I've never seen anyone live like this. We hear his teaching, which many would consider authoritative, as he actually explains our world and also our hearts. And then we see his well-known public miracles, and each of those again fulfilling what was prophesied beforehand. So what the skeptic needs to do is keep hold of their copy of this, take it away, and read it for themselves. Keep asking the question, please switch the brain on, and ask, who is this Jesus? Could he really be the one that was promised? Did his birth really happen in this way, precisely to get our attention? Or even more than that, to show, here is God who has come into our world personally to be with us. So who is Christmas for? There's our first answer. Christmas is for the skeptics. But Matthew also has another answer for us in these sentences, that Christmas is also for sinners. Christmas is for sinners. Well, what a year it's been. And I say that conscious that no doubt for some of us here, it's been particularly painful and difficult. For all of us, there have been stresses and strains, to say the least. And now as we emerge from this second lockdown, well, we have longings, don't we, that life from now on will be better. We don't want to go back. We want things to be different. We want our lives to change. In fact, we want the whole world to change. We want the problems dealt with. Well, we've seen so far this evening from Matthew's Gospel that Jesus, God himself, entered our world. But in our familiarity maybe with that claim, that Christmas story, we may never have really gone on to ask what is the obvious follow-up question, which is surely, why would God do that? Why would God come and visit planet Earth? Well, the angel answers that question for us. Look down sentence 21, where the angel says to Joseph, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So today is V-Day. The long-awaited vaccine has arrived. But of course, as we've tracked the development of these vaccines, none of them could have been developed if first there hadn't been an understanding of the problem, that is, the shape and the character of the virus that needed to be neutralized. Well, so with our world. Clearly, it's gone wrong. It's not as it should be. But what is the problem at heart? And that is what the angel is trying to tell us. The angel uses to us what is an old-fashioned and often misunderstood word, sins. But what does the angel mean by that? Well, I imagine it's Christmas morning that loving parents give their child his present. But he simply grabs it, he rips off the wrapping paper without really a second thought for the giver. He can't get this toy to work, but he won't let anyone help him with it. And then in his frustration, he just lashes out at his siblings, manages to hurt himself in the process. And of course, it's observed that boy has an attitude problem. Well, that boy, if you like, is the human race. He's you and me. Because God created us, he gave us life and breath and everything that we enjoy, all to be enjoyed. And also, most of all, that we would enjoy God the giver himself. But despite all that, if you could say humanity has this attitude problem. Oh yes, we'll grab all the good stuff, we'll enjoy it as best we can. But God himself, well, no thanks. We don't want him interfering, as we see it, with our plans and lives. We'll go our own way. That's what the angel means by that word, sins. Now, why are we thinking about this evening? Aren't we just really spoiling the Christmas tingle, putting a downer on the celebrations? Well, please blame the Christmas angel, not me. But also, don't miss what the angel goes on to say as well. Because what would you expect? Now, we know the Bible does talk about sins, but what would you expect to come next? Would it be pull your socks up, sort yourself out, try harder in 2021? Well, hardly, and in fact, it's too late for that anyway. So look at the angel's words in sentence 21 again. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And did you know the clue is in the name? That's what the angel is saying. The name Jesus means God saves. That is, God to the rescue. There's nothing that we can do to solve this problem as sinners. And so Jesus came into the world. And why did he come? Well, he came to rescue us from what we deserve, from the way we've treated God. He came to bring forgiveness. It took him all the way to that agonizing death on a cross, where he died the death that sinners like us deserve. I think what has really scared us all this pandemic is death. Normally, most of us are able to keep it at arm's length, but this past year, it has been far too in our face for our liking. And really, it's the reality of death that means, well, even these vaccines, even if they are effective, means it'll only be a temporary solution. But Jesus rose again from the dead so that he could share his indestructible life with any, with all, who would simply come to him for it. So who is Christmas for? Christmas is for the skeptics and for those looking for evidence of God breaking into the world. Well, here it is, and there is more than enough. Look at Jesus' birth, together with his life, his death and his resurrection, his physical resurrection from the dead. Well, it shows that he really must be Emmanuel, God with us. And then with that, Christmas is for sinners. That is, for those who want things to be better, but they've realized that we are the problem. That what is needed actually is nothing I can do but this rescue from the outside, which is why Jesus came. To do everything needed for us to be forgiven and to enjoy life with God now and forever.